Welcome to Module 8 of Discovering Buddhism. This is Establishing a Daily Practice, and it will run probably 6 sessions, but maybe only 5, because the 6th session is on Valentine's Day. So I'll let Hema decide what to do about that. So welcome. I just want to introduce myself for those of you who do not know me. And I'm Linda Saw. I'm the Discovering Buddhism Program Assistant. And so my goal is to help things run smoothly and to assist the teacher in any way. Our teacher for this module is Hemant Pandya. And I'll turn it over to him just momentarily. But I did want to go through real quick. I see some new names that I don't recognize. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to access information. And so I'm going to go ahead and screen share and go through that with you real quick. These classes can be accessed either by Zoom or sort of by YouTube, although tonight is a little strange. All right. So let's see here. Okay, what are you guys seeing? Are y'all seeing the Kadampa Center website?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Another new thing that I'm trying is two monitor screens. Okay, so here's the Kadampa Center website. So this is where you can find all kinds of information in regards to Kadampa Center. So basically, you just go to kadampa-center.org, and this brings you to our home screen. And for those of you that have been in these classes before with me, my favorite place is this calendar place right over here in the upper right corner. So you can click on that to find all kinds of things happening at the center. And here we are on January 10th. You can see there's weekday morning meditation every morning, Tara practice once a month on Saturdays, there's pujas, there's Lamrim topics with Geshe Gelug, there's Sunday classes. So look through that. There's lots and lots going on at Kadampa Center. For Discovering Buddhism, though, to access those materials, hopefully you've registered. You can do so by clicking on right here or from the homepage. There should be a banner streaming where you can click on Discovering Buddhism, or you can access it from the Spiritual Program and then Beginner Program. So lots of different ways to access Discovering Buddhism. So once you click on that link, this is the enrollment page that will pop up. And you will need to enroll in order to get the Zoom link. And you also will need to enroll in order to get access to the program materials. And so to do that on this page, it says, please enroll here. And it's a hyperlink. So then you would just click that. Oh, and I just saw this just say, that should say establishing a daily practice. And so here we go. This is the page where you would enroll, and you simply put your first name, your last name, your email address, your phone number if you want to. Phone number is optional, and then you would click submit. So I'm going to just go ahead and go through this real quick and show you what pops up. And then from here, you immediately get a confirmation page if your computer is faster than mine. All right, registration confirmation for Discovering Buddhism pops up. This is a really important page because this is where you get that username and password, okay? And you will also receive an email to the email that you just provided. And in the email, this information will be here. So in order to access the material, you would need to click on this link, see, to access course materials, please log in. And then you would use the username and the password that's provided here. Now, this page pops up, and if your computer shows it like mine, you can't see where to log in. So you scroll down. You scroll down, and then you see where to put that username and password. So I've typed that in. I'm going to hit login. And then that will bring me to... that will bring you to this page, Discovering Buddhism Material. And this is where everything's posted for this module as well as previous modules. Again, we're on module 8. So there's prayers for online classes that is helpful that we usually do in class on Discovering Buddhism as well as Sunday morning, maybe other classes as well. Here's Establishing a Daily Practice. There's a hyperlink for information, and after tonight, if Hemant assigns homework, I will post that tonight here. Okay, there's not a link to it now because there's no homework. And then the previous modules are listed here. So for the information for establishing a daily practice, you would click on that, and you'll get this information page that has all the information you need for this course. The instructor is Hemant, I'm the assistant. To access materials, we just went through that. You would click here. If you're on this page, you've already gotten there. Here's our classes. There's online readings with hyperlinks to those readings. We've got the online readings. The Wish Fulfilling Jewel is also online. And then the books that are recommended, Liberation of the Palm of Your Hand, Making Life Meaningful, is available on the FPMT website, as well as a daily meditation on Shakyamuni the Buddha. Please know that all of Kadampa Center teachings are offered freely. So this is a great opportunity to practice generosity. And Kadampa Center has made it very easy. We've given you lots of different ways to do so. You can donate online by clicking the link here. You can text give. You can make cash or check contributions and donation boxes that are located on site, although we're not really on site too much anymore, or you can mail checks to the address here. Kadampa Center does not provide or offer Discovering Buddhism certificates. Those are earned through the FPMT. And the FPMT stands for the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. And so if you are interested in obtaining Discovering Buddhism certificates, I would have you look at this page and read through all, it's a lot of information, but read through all of this information, and there are, in addition to attending the class, there's also quizzes online, and you would need to keep track of the reading and meditations and other practices that are necessary. And you can do that all online at onlinelearning.fpmt.org. So again, more information is here. As an enrolled Discovering Buddhism student, you have access to the FPMT modules that have been covered, and each module will be added as we go through the modules. And so the enrollment keys are listed here. Please do not share this information with other folks. This is just for enrolled Discovering Buddhism students. So that is all the information on this sheet. I know I've taken up a lot of time already, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen and turn it back over to Hemant. All right, Hemant, you can take it away.
Yeah. Well, anyway, are you going to be showing the movie, Linda?
Yeah, sorry, whenever you're ready. I wasn't sure if you wanted to say a few words before.
Well, anyways, I can certainly say welcome to BB Session 8. My name is Hemant. And before we start the movie, the whole purpose of this particular session is, and we'll go through it again, probably I might duplicate myself here, but just to say it, that you've been learning so many things about mind and its potential, right? Karma, refuge, and you've already taken some of those classes, the 7 classes before this. So this is a module where you are going to learn to integrate a lot of these learnings and teachings that you've had into practice. And then we can go into the class about why we need to practice and so forth. So with that, welcome. But we'll start with the movie and then we'll get going, okay?
Okay. So you guys bear with me for just a second while I start my screen share again and start the movie. If sometimes, you know, there's technical difficulties, if you can't hear me, please type that, or if you can't hear the video, just type it in the chat box and let me know. All right.
In a day. We could also say enlightenment isn't built in a day, but is built as a result of a day-to-day effort. In other words, the only thing that'll get us anywhere on the spiritual path, whether it's concentration, loving kindness, or wisdom that we want to develop, is dedicating ourselves to a daily practice. We take for granted that Olympic athletes and professional musicians train daily to achieve mastery of their sport or music. Why wouldn't the same discipline apply to cultivating the most important qualities of our mind? If we want to develop patience, honesty, morality, and wisdom, we have to make a sustained effort. In this show, we'll learn methods to develop our daily practice on and off the cushion through every part of our lives.
So what does a daily practice mean? What does it mean to practice? If, as the Buddha said, it's true that we have been cycling in samsara, cyclic existence, for infinite number of lifetimes, what we have been practicing, as evidenced by the fact that we're still here in samsara, has been non-virtue and self-cherishing. What we need to do to remedy this situation is to develop a new habit by practicing virtue and cherishing others. So before listening to these teachings, establish in your mind a very strong motivation to be able not only to understand what it means to have a daily practice, but to establish one in your life, a workable daily practice, as quickly as possible, so that you may be able to benefit all living beings as quickly as possible.
Got it from the song of man. kid until they commit. Doesn't mean you are someone.
So how do I carry out my practice in this life? How do I summarize all the practices? All these practices of the path to enlightenment in my life. So this is the first. You have five forces to apply. This is the first, the power, the force of resolution. Set a strong intention, a strong resolution in the morning. Okay, so this you have to apply this right in the morning. As soon as you open your eyes, as soon as you wake up, you open your eyes before doing anything else. You just hook up with your mind and set your resolution. So right now, also this morning, I'm alive. I have all the favorable circumstances in my life, all the freedoms and endowment in order to progress and practice the path to enlightenment and to benefit all sentient beings. Therefore, as much as I can, as much as I live throughout the day, I'm not going to let my mind under the power of delusions, and I'm not going to harm any sentient beings, and I'm going to be as helpful as possible to all sentient beings. So now the next is the force of the white seed. The force of the white seed is the aim of achieving the supreme enlightenment in order to benefit all mother sentient beings and oneself, for oneself and other purposes, engaging as much as possible throughout the day in practice to purify the previously accumulated negative potentials or karma, and accumulating virtuous actions or merits, what we call merits.
Mm-hmm.
So these are called the white seed. So what is the best way then to quickly accumulate merits without making so much effort? Rejoice. And rejoicing is an incredible beneficial practice. It allows you to accumulate such a huge mass of merits just with the force of your thought, without engaging in any physical or strenuous difficult practices or activities, just rejoicing of the virtues accumulated by others, by oneself and others. It becomes extremely powerful to swiftly complete the accumulation of merits without so much struggle. You rejoice of your virtues, you rejoice of other people's virtues, you rejoice of the virtues of the bodhisattvas, of the buddhas, of the gurus. The more you think in detail and vast you are, the vaster and bigger is the, by way of rejoicing you, the merits keep accumulating and accumulating. This is a very good practice. If you undertake whatever, even the smallest positive action you do, it acts as purifier for those previously accumulated negative karma. More specific, there are lots of very powerful practices and techniques, such as doing prostrations, taking refuge, reciting what is called the tunsha, the general confession practice, the practice related to the 35 Buddhas, Vajrasattva meditation and recitation, even just the mantra, and so on and so forth. And the third is the force of familiarity. It means that you constantly have to take to your mind the practices of the path to enlightenment, especially the steps to generate bodhicitta, and as well as purifying accumulating merits, until it becomes spontaneous for you. You don't need any, it's not a contrived thought. You have to bring it to your mind constantly, so it becomes so familiar with that particular kind of attitude and behavior that you constantly are reminded of the path to enlightenment. So this is the power, the force of familiarity. So the fourth is the force or the power of rejection. And this in general, it refers to all types of delusions. So always keep a constant awareness of delusions and their disadvantages for you in order to eliminate it, but particularly be mindful of self-cherishing thought, of egoism, and not let the power of rejection is do not let yourself being taken under the power of self-cherishing thought from now on as much as you can. So this is the power of rejection. So now the force of prayer. or dedication. So at the time, just before going to sleep, then you apply the last force. All right, you review your day on the basis of your first determination in the morning. So what happened today? How did I accumulate any novitious action? Was I being taken under the power of delusions? Did I accumulate vicious actions? Was I able to apply the antidotes and to overcome self-cherishing thought, and so on and so forth? So you have to analyze very sincerely, focus on whatever negativities I have accumulated today. I've done it for this and this and this, so therefore I'm going to purify it right now, and tomorrow I will be more mindful. You make a strong determination again tomorrow. I'm not going to repeat the same mistake. And whatever virtues you have accumulated, you review it and you rejoice. So that was very good. I've done it very nicely. I was able to face my mind. I was able to decrease delusions. I was able to do this and this and virtuous action. This is fantastic. Tomorrow I'll do even better. So before going to bed, you do this review. This was a very short explanation on how to carry out the practices, how to summarize the practice in one's life on the basis of a daily practice from morning up to night. So this is for what we call daily practices.
Purification, because even if we do have the intention to be helpful to others and not do things that are harmful or negative, create bad karma and so on, we are just human beings. We have our faults, our imperfections, and our limitations, and so we're bound to make mistakes and lose our temper, get angry, or get caught up in negative thoughts and speak in negative ways or do things negative. So there's something we can do about that when we do make mistakes and create bad karma, and that is purification. So purification is a practice we can do to clear up any negative karma that we've created in our day. So it's actually a good thing to do every day, because most probably we do create negative karma each day. But we can also purify things we've done before. The general practice of purification involves four things, four points, which are called four powers, four opponent powers. First is regret. And regret is not the same as guilt. So there's a difference between regret and guilt. I think we all know guilt. We're all familiar with guilt. That's very common in our culture. And I think of guilt as being more emotional, like we feel really awful about something that we've done, and maybe we get into beating ourselves up and thinking, I'm a horrible person. Now, regret, on the other hand, is not so emotional. It's more rational, more reasonable. Regret comes from understanding karma. Understanding and believing in karma, accepting karma. So you understand that karma works. We do actions and those actions leave imprints on our mind, which stay in the mind until some point in the future when the causes and conditions come together, the imprints ripen and we have some kind of experience as a result of that. So they say regret is similar to the way we would feel if we unknowingly swallowed something that was poisonous. So that's the feeling of regret. That's the first power. The second power is refuge. Refuge is an attitude, a state of mind that comes about by learning what the Buddha taught and feeling confidence, feeling trust in the Buddha and his teachings, agreeing with them and wanting to follow them. So that's just in general what it means to take refuge, very simply speaking. So if you're Buddhist, then the second power would involve renewing your refuge or sense of commitment to the Buddha and his teachings. But if you're not a Buddhist, then you may have other objects of faith that you have faith or trust or confidence in and that you take as your guides and wish to follow. So so you could just renew your determination to follow those objects of your faith. And it can also involve generating or renewing your wish to benefit others, your feelings of compassion and love and kindness towards others and the wish to not harm them and the wish to help them. Then the third of the four powers is what I call remedy. And this involves doing something positive or virtuous to counteract the negative thing you've done by creating this bad karma. So you can do traditional virtuous things like saying prayers or reciting mantras or meditation on loving kindness or meditation on other aspects of the path. But you could also be creative and find your own ways of doing something virtuous that is a countermeasure to the negative thing you've done. Like, for example, if you did something that was like stealing or cheating, then you could give money. You could give a donation to charity or to some good cause. So generally we need to do something positive, something virtuous to oppose or counteract the negative thing we've done. Then the fourth power is the power of resolution or determination. And that involves generating in your mind some kind of determination about refraining from doing the same thing again in the future. So this is really, really important, because if we do something negative and then we say, oh, I'm sorry, and we do some purification, but then we go back and do it again and again and again, then it's not so wise or helpful. So there needs to be at least the wish to, even if we can't get to the point where we'll never do it again, but at least to lessen the amount of time we do it, to decrease the incidence of doing that same action again. So they say you can, if it is something that you feel, I will never do it again, and you can make that kind of promise and keep it, then okay. But if it's something that you have been doing habitually and you wouldn't be able to just stop it altogether, then you could make a promise to not do it for a limited period of time, like the next 5 minutes or the next hour or the, half a day. So find something that's reasonable, that's within your abilities, and try to just be aware and mindful for that period of time and try to refrain from doing that action again. So there are particular practices in the Tibetan tradition for purification that are all sort of written up and set up that include these four powers. One of the more famous, popular ones is the practice of Vajrasattva. It's a particular Buddha figure that we visualize, and then we generate these powers, regret, thinking about the things we've done, we feel regret for, generating refuge and the wish to benefit other beings. Then for the power of the remedy, we recite a mantra. There's a mantra associated with Vajrasattva. There's a long one that's got 100 syllables. And there's also a short one that is very simple, Om Vajrasattva Hum. And so you recite that mantra, and that's particularly good to purify out negative karma that's been created. then at the end of practice you generate a resolution to refrain from doing the action again. Another one is the 35 Buddhas, which there's a tanka here, showing the 35 Buddhas. So that practice involves, again, first thinking about the things you want to purify, generating regret for them, and then taking refuge in the 35 Buddhas, and then reciting their names. So reciting the names of these 35 Buddhas, and if you can, doing prostrations to them at the same time, bowing to them, that is for the third power, the power of the remedy. So that's a very virtuous thing, to recite names of Buddhas and also prostrate to them. And then you go through a prayer of confession of the negative things you've done, and then at the end generate a resolution to not do it again. And like I say, it's good if we can do a purification practice every night, because probably during the day we have done things that were negative, and if we don't purify, then another thing that happens with karma is that it multiplies. So if you do something negative one day and then you don't do anything to purify it, by the second day it's multiplied, it's become worse, severe. And that happens each day that we don't purify. So the sooner we can purify, the better. So that's why it's a good idea to do it at night, to purify any negative karma we've done during that day, so that at least we stop it from multiplying until the next day.
That I started to do in terms of a daily practice was actually starting, I used to do some meditation before I was a Buddhist, but it was more like set my motivation as taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha for the sake of all sentient beings. So then that would be the main thing. I think that was for a good few months. Then I was interested in prostrations. I got very drawn to doing that. And then there's a whole thing with purification, which I didn't really know about, but as I did prostrations I learned more. So I did the 35 Buddha practice. Every day I would do at least 35. I used to do like 100 every day. Sometimes it would, because of when I started to work full time, night duty and things like that, it would be difficult. So I'd just do the basic commitment. But then obviously when I was in retreat, I don't know how, but I managed to do like maybe 1,000 or so a day. I think maybe at one point I got up to 2,000. But it, you know, I don't know how what the quality was. But you know, it was really different when I did intensive. You could see the lam rim, you know, impermanence, precious human rebirth, and in renunciation. You could feel that these are things I really need to realize. I mean, just I got to feel a little bit of the quality of the lam rim. I went back to England and I trained as a nurse. I realized that my practice was out there with people, caring for them. They're the priority. If I have spent time doing my practice in the morning, then I go to work, my heart is really so much more open and I'm focused on them. Otherwise, you know, I can be a little bit more interested in me. I have to go and get my breakfast or whatever. But I also think that the work helps to open my heart as well. Actually, it works both ways. So my practice helps my work, but my work helps my practice. I see so much suffering in that job. It's hard work. But yet, because I have the Dharma, there's a bigger perspective, and I can do prayers for people. So when I come home, which is really important, I feel like it's my duty, you know, as a Buddhist, you know, for me as trying to develop bodhicitta, that I pray for all my patients that they will become enlightened soon. So at the end of the day, I do Vajrasattva, to purify everything. So I try to think about everything I've done in the day that's negative karma, but also try to expand that, that that's not just today, that's many times this life, many times in many lives. So I try to really expand that and then do the Vajrasattva meditation, the recitation, and try to make a promise to not do those things for as much time as I feel I can. And then I dedicate. And I try to do a dedication that it includes all the people that I care for in the hospital, family, friends, and I try to also to expand it to as many people I can think of, because I think it's something very important about focusing on individuals in the dedication. But obviously I use the dedication for all beings. I'd love to do my practice, I really do. And I feel so sad when I can't spend so much time on it. It makes me feel really sad. And I've noticed when I've had lots going on in my life and I haven't been able to do my practice, I'm not happy. I'm not a happy person. And I also don't like doing my practice as much, which is quite interesting. And when I have time and I do my practice, I'm a happier person.
Okay, Hema, it's back to you now.
Just give me 1 second so I can get
okay.
The presentation up.
Okay. And if anyone has feedback, I know I had one student text or messaging me in chat that she was having a hard time with the video. If there's any other feedback, for sound, for video, just put it in the chat. I'd like to kind of troubleshoot and make it better for the future, if possible.
Okay, can you see my screen
now? Absolutely, looks great.
Okay, thank you. For those that are wondering what that image is, those are 8 auspicious symbols. Okay. We'll cover it at some point. I will explain each one of them to you. So, well, first of all, again, thank you. That little clip, no matter how many times I've seen it, it really is calming. You know, when you hear the monks speak, the teachers, the Rinpoche, there's something about the environment. It really is calming. So anyways, we can start our, again, my name is Hemant Pandya. Of course, you know Linda now. And I also have Patty helping sometimes. I'm a little discombobulated with the Mac. I'm so used to working on the Microsoft side of the world, so she helps me out a little bit. So because we are talking about establishing daily practice, I think it's very important to first of all understand why do we even prostrate. Right. Well, first of all, when we first walk into Gampa, or when you see a holy figure, or when you go to a pilgrimage, we do prostrations. I know some people have an aversion because they feel that when they're prostrating to somebody. Okay. But if you think about it, you know, it is a humbling gesture. You are bowing down to the Buddha's teachings. Okay. And if Buddha is a teacher, you are being humble to them. And I always make a joke, it's always good for my body. When you bow down, you're exercising also. So it's really a humble. the left side, for example, is like, method and wisdom, the two wings you may have heard about for the Dharma. So it's kind of that. One is the method side, one is the wisdom side. And all the space around your hand is basically emptiness. So you're offering all that. Okay, so besides the gesture, you're also welcoming the things to you. So at least, since we are all sitting in a class, I would suggest that at least mentally, we do three prostrations in your mind, and you say, Om Namo Manju Shriye, Om Namo Shu Shriye, Om Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. If you don't know, just do an humble request that you are blessed during this session and all these teachings can come to you smoothly. So let's just do that mental three prostrations before we even start. Okay? Okay, So the plan for today, depending on the time, if we don't get through everything, not to worry. My intention is to cover everything. And I'm also going to try, if we don't catch up, maybe the next class, we may have a little fuller class, but following the third class, we'll cut it down. I know a lot of people work all day long. They are on computer all day long. And then to come in the evening to have another hour and a half on Zoom is tiring. But depending on the mood and depending on your need, we will certainly we'll discuss that. Okay, so we'll go through a little calm abiding meditation and we're going to go into a motivation. Obviously, 7-point meditation posture, everybody's familiar with it. But for those that are not, I'll go through that. And then we'll give an overview of establishing a daily practice. And we have a little analogy to get you going, to thinking in the right direction. And then we can also discuss what to expect in the coming weeks. And then we'll start with Lama Zopa Rinpoche's recommendations. Okay? There are several meditations, several ways to do it. There are some basic cadence to the practice. And then there's some mid-level and very advanced. And we're going to cover what they are and how they're conducted. Okay, and then, of course, Lama Zopa Rinpoche talks about what to do in the morning, what to do in the evening. And then, of course, we need to know the purpose of the daily practice. And then we'll close with the meditation. If I get to at least the morning practices, time permitting, and not to the evening practices of the purpose, we'll then end with a closing meditation. And then we'll start next week with some of the topics and then other things that I want to cover. Is that okay? Okay, so let's just bring yourself here and now. You may have had a rough day, busy day, maybe an easy day, but for this time and moment that you are here in this session, you want to bring your mind to present. Okay? So again, the seven postures we talk about is keeping your back straight. You know, there's always like a stack of stones, they call it. If you're seated on a floor, obviously you're seated with a cross-legged, they're called Vajra position or half lotus position. That is, if I'm looking at everybody, most of us are sitting on a chair, no problem. There is no given position that you need to sit down. It is recommended if you're able to and you're flexible to sit in a Vajra position because it allows to keep your spine straight, allows the energy to flow, and so you keep your back straight. Again, we just talked about our legs. Either they are down on the floor. If you can't reach it, the floor is cold. You can put a little pillow underneath it. Your arms are a little spread apart. You know, again, the whole idea is for this energy to flow through your body and not to get too tight, too constrained. Okay? Your head is slightly inclined forward and you're gazing on the floor in front of you. And your jaw and mouth relaxed, teeth slightly apart, and lips slightly touching each other. And your tongue rests lightly on the upper palate behind the teeth. And your eyes in the beginning can be shut, but they prefer to keep it slightly open so you're aware and little light coming in. You're really just looking within. And then so what you want to do now is just relax and scan your body and release any tension that you may have, you may be holding. Are you comfortable? And once you find yourself in a comfortable position, bring your attention to your breath. Breath is something neutral. We breathe every day, night and day. It's something very neutral. It's part of our system. So just bring your focus onto your breath and see it going in and going out. For some, you may just feel that cool tingling sensation at your nostril, or others find it comfortable focusing on their abdomen, going in and out as you inhale and exhale. And then keep your mind again on your breath. You may find that your mind is wandering sometimes. Okay? Don't constrain yourself. Just gently bring it back. Bring your attention back to your breath. It does two things. It's teaching you how to concentrate, and it is also calm abiding. It calms the system down because you're not focused on all the other activities. Let's just do that for about a minute or so. Now, with a calmer state of mind, let's set up our motivation. Let's start with reflecting on why we are here. What is it that we hope to achieve or gain by studying this course that is entitled Establishing the Daily Practice? Inviting here are the various players of our lives, our father, our mother, all members of our family, all those that you work with, friends, even those who agitate us, those whose lives we read about in magazines or in the news or here on the TV, bring in different realms of existence. And being aware that all of us have exactly the same wish. We just want happiness and we don't want suffering. And recognizing the very precious opportunity that we have in our life, having met teachings that provide us with the very method we need to free our minds from suffering and its causes, and achieve every quality of being for the highest happiness and benefit. And taking upon ourselves the responsibility of this opportunity to work, not only for happiness or ourselves alone, but for the happiness of every single living being, and wanting to repay whatever kindness they have given us in our lives gone by. And then invoke to this place the presence of our teachers, our guides, our protectors, and various kind beings who help us in our path. Seeing them manifesting here in the place in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha, asking them to bless our mind to receive exactly the teachings that we need at this point in our spiritual development. Okay, and you can bring your attention back to the class. Okay, so we're going to start by talking a little bit about the 8th module, obviously just some logistics, some reading material that I referenced to. Then we're going to talk about a few topics, and this is all in the preparation. Remember, we have 5 or 6 modules. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But in the modules, we will establish a cadence. People usually want to know, tell me what is the first thing I do, what's the second thing I do, and that's what I'm here for, right? That's what we want to know right away. But I think we need to establish first why we want to practice. Why do you need to even establish the practice? So that's important. I think you heard a little bit of it on the video that you saw. But we're going to talk about a little bit about how sometimes we have insensitivity to dharma. Okay? And then we're going to discuss just a few points that Lama Zopa Rinpoche mentions about Lamrim. Lamrim is our last chance. And just so you know that the class meets every Monday. Oh, sorry. Okay? So I also want to, before we start, and we talk about dharma practice. So first question in my mind is, what is dharma? You know, we take it for granted. Oh, dharma is this thing we do, all the Buddhists do, right? What is dharma? First of all, let's define that in our mind. Dharma is that which holds you back from suffering. That is the main meaning. Now, you can go into the details how, and it talks about the quintessential perfect example would be, it's a wisdom realizing emptiness. What that means is you understand what reality is. Once you know how reality is, and then our mind has perceived that directly, now your job is to eliminate all the mental afflictions, all the habits that we've created since lifetimes, and even in this life. No, the way we think. So now when you practice something, what you're doing is you're slowly turning them into positive or eliminating those afflictions. So then your mind is clear, right? That's the point behind establishing a dharma practice. So yeah, I figured let's start with that first. Okay, and now just a little discussion I want to have is, you know, at least from my side, every time we cover a topic in a class or we talk about something or we watch a video or whatever, in your mind, ask yourself, why am I doing this? I think sometimes it's like one-way street, right? Somebody tells you this is a thing, it came from Lama Zopa Rinpoche or my Geshe-la told me this is the syllabus, so we do it. But Buddha himself said, check it out. Right? So I would suggest to you that if something is not clear to you, we can always have questions and answers. I will give you my email address. We can talk on the phone. But even there are other sources that are meaning. Sometimes they use Sanskrit words, sometimes some Tibetan words. And before you go further, and if you're stuck on what that is, find out what that means. And I think that will help you. Okay? Some of the people I want to at least thank and show my respect to, because I always go to Lama Yeshe archives. For my glossary, that's where I go. If I have a question with a practice, sometimes I will go to Venerable Thupten children's site. Obviously, I have Geshe-la teaching us all the time, so I have lots of notes. Of course, Lama Zopa Rinpoche provides all these teachings and prayer books and the writings. And if you go to FPMT site, just name it, you got it. And this is FPMT course, so all your literature comes from them. And we also want to think about the teachers and the students, senior students, who have helped establish a lot of these syllabuses and training material. For example, a lot of this material comes from her name is Magnussen, if I remember her, Kendall Magnussen, 30 years of experience. So it's important to also think about that. If you think about Lamrim, the very first thing we talk about is quality of the teachings, quality of the teachers. Then the Lamrim begins. So we want to always think about, where does this come from? Who is telling me to do this? And why is it important to me? And what does it mean? So have that in your mind, okay? So thank you enough for that. And I think I'm going to, so I think this is a great thing to get us going. This is from Master Shantideva. Okay, I thought it was a great way to start. It says, just as a flash of lightning on a dark cloudy night, for an instant brightly illuminates all, like a thunderbolt. Likewise in this world, to a mind of Buddha, a wholesome thought rarely and briefly appears. Think about your day all day long. How many times do we really bring in Dharma? We see that as a part-time thing sometimes. At least I know, I'm talking in general. Some of you may be very, very adept to practicing, and so I'm not diminishing that. But generally speaking, we are very busy people with so many things to do and what I got to do and I need to plan and I need to cook. And we are lay people, so we have those duties and jobs and other things. But those thoughts do come. But the establishing the daily practice, it starts to enter in everything you do, including work. So it's important to think that way. Okay? So let's do an analogy here, for example. Okay? But before I even do analogy, I think I want to talk a little bit before this about a precious human rebirth. Okay? You know, why do we call it precious? It's important because it is precious, because if you've taken some of the other courses in DB, I'm sure you've gone through precious human rebirth. We heard some of the teachers talk about it on the video about precious human rebirth. You know, to make it precious, we are given this, what they call 8 leisures or freedoms and some richnesses. And I'll just run through a few of them. As you know, there are many sentient beings and many humans all over the earth and many worlds. However, when you think about it, for people who are trying to learn or understand this, you know, think about it. You are born as a human being and not in one of those realms, the ghost realms or the hell realms or the animal realms, where you would not be able to learn the Dharma. That would be one of the freedoms that you have. Right? You are born in the place where Dharma is taught or flourishes. Thankful that we are in the United States, where we have the freedom and we are able to have these classes and be able to listen to the teachings. So isn't that a wonderful freedom? Right? And let's talk about some of the richnesses that we have. Obviously, we are human beings. We are in a country, again, that allows us to practice. We have a well-functioning body and mind, right? At least we haven't committed what they call the 5 heinous crimes, and that would be killing your father, killing your mother, killing an arhat, you know, harming a body of a Buddha, maybe, or creating a chasm or schism, I mean, schism or divisiveness between the monks, things like that. Those are spoken in the meditation book. So we've been given this freedom and the best thing, an opportunity to change our mind to a positive and remove those afflictions, and then you're preparing for your next state of mind. Right? That's the reason behind establishing the daily practice. It is almost akin to an analogy, and I want to talk about that a little bit before we go into the next piece here. And that is, in Tibet, traditionally, you know, we talk about a leather and a butter analogy I want to bring. And if you think about it, butter is used to soften the leather, right? And so it softens and you can make your container and shape it the way you want it. But after a while, you can carry the butter in the pouch itself. And there's some chemistry between the leather and the butter where the butter does not penetrate the leather. So if you think in that way, you can understand that, you know, sometimes we get insensitivity to Dharma. And we got to check that. I've heard this before. Oh, I've seen this many times. Oh, this is boring. It is not exciting like you are excited when you hear a song from your childhood that is really good. You get excited about that. But many times when we hear about Dharma, we kind of say, yeah, 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 yeah. And whatever the reasons you may have, if you're serious about it, if you're just here to listen in, and that's fine. But just wanted to bring that about, that what you want to do is soften like leather and the butter so your mind is pliant to be able to accept some of these teachings. Okay? Right? So, any questions so far?
I don't in the chat, Hema, but if someone does have a question, feel free to raise your hand or just unmute and you can ask.
And I would even say to what I was just talking about, check within your mind. For example, with your parents or loved ones, you know, we've had relationships in the past or in the near future, or we have a relationship, and realize how they have raised you, but you didn't get along maybe sometime. But if your mind has accepted some of these teachings over time, maybe you start to understand and you're much calmer. You understand that they're looking out for their happiness. Maybe you see things differently than before. If your sense of self is still very strong and you wind up blaming others, pointing fingers, then maybe the dharma has not soaked in a little bit. So again, the analogy of butter and the leather, you want to soak the dharma in so that you can actually incorporate that. Okay? So think in those terms. So I know that next week we'll be certainly be talking about what to expect in coming weeks, and we'll talk about setting the altar, six preparatory practices, and a lot of other things. But give me a second. I think I may have gone a little too far, and I want to make sure that these slides are not moving too far fast. Give me 1 second. Okay. Good. I think we are fine. So we'll go through really the way the practices are set to put together. We'll go through that. But I also would like to talk about a morning practice that Lama Zopa Rinpoche is suggesting. Okay? And he suggests that when you first get up in the morning, you want to at least generate a right attitude of bodhicitta. Thanking that you're alive today and you can do something positive. Set the right motivation. Then what he suggests is that we do this prostrations to 35 Buddhas. So somebody's sitting there saying, well, I can't prostrate. Right? I have a body ailment or arthritis or whatever the case is. That's fine. You can do mental prostrations. But obviously, if you do them, it's helpful. It's very good for you. But if you can't do it, perfectly fine to do it mentally. Some people do full prostrations, others choose to do half prostrations, and some people choose to sit and bow mentally, and that's fine. And I would suggest, and we'll go through all of these things, you know, they said these prostrations, just give you a little background, are 35 Buddhas. There's something called power of prayer. Once a Bodhisattva becomes a Buddha, they get 10 powers. One of the powers is power of prayers. And these 35 Buddhas, when they were Bodhisattvas, basically prayed and said, when they become Buddha and if people were to take their names and prostrate, they would help them eliminate such and such karma. Each Buddha then eliminates a certain karma. And if you read, there's a great commentary, and I have a book here on that. Of course, the material also, I think what Linda showed you also gives you a lot of details, but, you know, and I'm not proposing you go buying anything. I'm just saying that's a great commentary from Lama Zopa Rinpoche about this entire practice. It tells you each Buddha and prostration and eons of negative karmas that it burns. And it talks about, you heard in the video, how you are basically goes through a process where you show the regret. You rely on, you know, you regret something that you may have done. It's very similar to confession, basically, right? But you do it, you take your name, and you basically say, I regret something. And then you rely on these prostrations and teachings and taking the name. There's a remedy, you find an antidote, and you practice those things. And then obviously you have to have a resolve trying to not do those or remove those mental afflictions from your system. And according to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, this is a very powerful practice. There are several purification practices. We'll discuss both, but this is the one he suggests that you do in the morning and make it part of your daily practice, to do prostrations to 35 Buddhas. Then obviously, once you do that, you want to do a little guru yoga in Lamrim. don't mind the words. We will go through all of these things. In our case, we'll practice, we'll do a guru yoga on Shakyamuni Buddha, some little lumbering practice. Okay, and we'll go through that. And then what he suggests is to do a little bit of reading from Lamrim, 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, and then some mantra recitation. So what, let me kind of take a look at where I am with, where my, I'm getting along good, and I want to keep an eye on our meditation. That's going to take us a little time. Okay. Yeah, right.
When you have a chance, we do have a question.
Sure.
So a student asked you to please define emptiness. It says, can you define emptiness that Dharma wisdom realizes?
In short, of course, there's a whole module, an advanced level module for the DB that goes through nothing but emptiness. But in short, it is the wisdom of realizing what is reality. There is this ultimate reality and conventional reality. Conventional reality is what we live in with our mind. We go to work and we look at this body as I am doing that. But as you realize and you learn a little bit more about emptiness, you will find out that everything is dependent arising, that you are not this self-inherent existing person. You know, your blood depends on bones and the bones depend on something else and your nerve depends on something. Every day things are changing. Everything is dependent on something. A good analogy would be take a fruit that you eat. It came from a tree. A tree came from a seed. It goes on and on and on. It's dependent arising. And then we hold this notion of an I, this existing self. And in the emptiness classes, you go through that. And a four-point analysis and practices and training to show you that how things truly exist. Once you understand that, what happens is you lose this, you soften this I, the ego. So then you look at life very differently. Right now, what is bothering us the most? Attachment, aversion, ignorance, right? You get mad, somebody says something to you, well, same to you. Right? Immediately that ego is bruised. And you want to fight back. Then you realize how things exist. Those words mean nothing. And all of a sudden, you are not as attached. You don't get aversion. You loosen your pride. And what happens is you recognize the nature of reality, and that is emptiness in short. I hope I was able to give you a little snapshot of what emptiness is. And I'll be more than happy to talk to you a little bit more about at a different time or give me a call. Okay, so is that okay? Okay.
Yes, okay. We're getting a thumbs up and a thank you for that.
All right. So again, we'll talk about Guru Yoga. We'll do a little practice. And then we talked about the 35 Buddhas. And then, of course, you want to do some mantra recitations. There are various mantras, Chenrezig's mantra. And I have 2 more minutes before we go to the meditation, okay? And we'll talk about mantra recitation, and the practice of Vajrasattva is another purification practice, but it is optional in the morning. I personally like to do it in the evening, which is suggested because you may have committed a few things in the day, said a few things, felt a certain way. Great way to end your day, thinking about that, purifying, and then like Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, go with clear mind, go to sleep. Okay, so in general, that's what the morning practice is. We'll talk about the evening practice the next class. And what I want to do is, sorry, but I would love to end with a good meditation so that, you know, we don't go beyond our time. So if you don't mind, I'll just move to my slides real quick. And okay, there we go. And there we go. We already talked about that, so let's just go to the meditation and then we'll start the dedication, okay? So just again, calm yourself again, bring yourself to that position that we talked about when we did the placement meditation. When we did the calm abiding meditation, it's also sometimes called a placement meditation. In Tibetan, they call it Shinen, okay? and it's, you have one object of concentration. And now what we're going to do is do a meditation with a little Lam Rim practice in it set up. Okay? So I invite you now to take a moment to put yourself in a comfortable position for meditation and paying special attention to your posture. Okay, of course, begin by making sure that your spine is straight and then taking a few deep breaths in and out. Spending a moment and giving yourself complete permission to let your mind be present in this meditation. Not worrying about what has come before or what's being concerned, what you're concerned about coming in future, just allowing yourself to benefit from this time right now. And briefly calling to your mind our motivation, our wish to benefit others, and to become completely awakened as quickly as possible in order to do just that. And then recognizing that as long as our minds are untrained, unconcentrated, it will be impossible to make real progress in our practice. So then, in order to fulfill our deepest wishes, we'll do this practice of concentration for the benefit of all sentient beings. So let's start with a little visualization. Visualize at the level of your forehead, about 2 meters, about 6 feet in front of you, a large golden throne. It is beautifully adorned with jewels and supported at each corner by a pair of snow lions. On the throne is a fully developed lotus. On that are the sun and the full moon discs. For knowledge sake, sun represents emptiness, knowledge of emptiness or wisdom, and full moon represents bodhicitta. Upon the open lotus, sun and the moon, is seated Shakyamuni, Buddha, who has achieved perfect cessation of all suffering and obscurations and has attained all perfections and realizations. He is the manifestation of the omniscient mind of all Buddhas, the ultimate guru. He is inseparable from your root guru, who shows unmistaken path and is bound with infinite compassion for you, to you, and to all sentient beings. If you don't have a teacher, if you don't have a guru, you don't need to worry. Just focus on the visualization of Shakyamuni Buddha as a teacher. His body is in the nature of golden light. He's very magnificent. It is very magnificent. And he wears 3 robes of a monk. His face is beautiful and has a loving smile. His compassionate eyes look towards you, but simultaneously encompass all sentient beings. His mind, free of all judgment, critical thoughts, and accepts you fully. His eyes are long, narrow, and fine. His gaze is very peaceful. His eyes are half closed. Or you can say half opened. His lips are red. And his hair is a blue-black. Each hair individually curls to the right. And on the crown of his head is a crown pinnacle, also called Ushnisha. The palm of his right hand rests on his right knee, and the middle finger touching the moon cushion his left hand rests in his lap in a mudra or a gesture of meditation. And in his left hand, he's holding a bowl filled with nectar. His body is in a vajra posture, and he sits peacefully in the center of an interlaced beams of light. Each feature of his body, his holy body, represents an aspect of his omniscient mind, his inner attainments. Each feature also demonstrates the causes, that is, the merit that was collected in the past. And no matter how much one looks at Shakyamuni Buddha, one never feels satiated. His supreme refuge, Shakyamuni Buddha, encompasses the Guru, the Buddha, the Dharma and Sangha. And from his holy body, beams are emitted in all 10 directions. Numberless manifestations of Shakyamuni Buddha are carried on each beam to ripen infinite sentient beings. And then you can think, looking at you or looking at me with a compassionate eye, Shakyamuni Buddha says, son or the daughter of the lineage, if you want to be liberated from the suffering of samsara, I will guide you now. I will guide you. He happily promises this and frees me from the breathless state. So holding this image in your mind as clearly as possible, with great energy of mind, allowing your mind to become completely absorbed into the image before us, the Enlightened One, our teacher. Holding that feeling strongly in the mind, acknowledging that there is an Enlightened One who only wants to teach and guide us, if only we can pay attention. And so with all of our hearts, pay full attention to Buddha. If the mind fades, concentrate on the brilliance of the golden light emanating from Buddha's body. Also concentrate on our wish to always be in the presence of our teachers and to be able to hear them whenever we have the slightest doubt. And realizing that Shakyamuni Buddha is not simply an image, he is an experience. So hold that meditation for one more minute. And then while holding the presence of Shakyamuni Buddha clearly in the mind, we'll continue with the meditation on refuge, just listening bringing the words to your heart as much as possible. This is taken from the daily meditation practice. And what you think about when you do this refuge meditation is you think, around me are seated infinite father and mother sentient beings. They are completely intoxicated with unimaginable infinite sufferings of each of the six realms. They are wide-eyed, desperately looking for refuge, pitifully calling and screaming. So think, continuously circling in this samsara, the six realms. I have been tormented by suffering during beginningless rebirths until now. I have still not found the opportunity to be liberated from this. Fortunately, this time I have received a perfect human body. What a good fortune. I have met the most sublime teaching, the Buddha Dharma, and the founder Shakyamuni Buddha. I have no certainty that I will not die today. My death could come or happen even today. So if I should die today, I would have no freedom to choose the realm in which I would reincarnate. It's possible we could fall down the precipice into one of the other the realms of different migratory beings. Although it is unlikely, if I were to achieve the body of a deva or a human, I would still be ceaselessly tormented by many hundreds of sufferings such as rebirth and old age and sickness and death, dissatisfaction, anxiety, lack of fulfillment, relationship problems, and so forth. And after that, I would again fall down into the lower realms. There is nothing to trust about being in the upper realms. So we've obtained this perfect human body with freedoms and richnesses, and I have been guided by sublime virtuous friend who reveals the path, and I have the wisdom to discriminate between these shortcomings of samsara and the benefits of liberation. Therefore, I should quickly achieve liberation from this terrifying samsara. And not only I must liberate myself from samsara, but you should also think about fathers and mothers and other sentient beings. I must liberate them and lead them to a peerless happiness of fulfillment. Therefore, together, I and each and every migratory being, equaling the sky, go for refuge to the Guru, the Triple Gem, the Founder, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And there's a small chant you will hear chanted during retreats and practices, and it goes like this: Om or Namo Guru Bhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, and Namo Sanghaya. There's a tune. It's, you know, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Guru Bhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. And what that means is, to the Guru I go for refuge, to the Buddha I go for refuge, to the Dharma I go for refuge, and to the Sangha I go for refuge. Then visualizing a final purifying stream of white nectar and light pouring forth from the Holy Guru Shakyamuni Buddha's body and mind, cleansing myself and all beings of all suffering and the causes of sufferings. And you can again chant the same mantra, Namo Guru Bhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Then in response to our sincere request for refuge, for protection, for guidance, for blessings, Shakyamuni Buddha then comes to the crown of our heads and melts into the stream of golden light and descends to our heart, becoming inseparably mixed with our minds. Let's dedicate. Now let's dedicate this merit of having made this effort to listen to the teachings to the swift enlightenment of each and every living being. Dedicate this merit that we ourselves might quickly attain the awakened state of perfectly awakened Buddha and to be able to benefit all living beings by leading them to that same state and maybe generate the bodhicitta which has not been generated. And may the bodhicitta which that has been generated never decline but always increase. And may the gap between our mind and dharma be reduced to nothing. And may our minds become the perfect dharma for benefit of all. Thank you so much. You can open your eyes. So next class, we will certainly go through effective meditation sessions, talking about meditation manuals. We'll cover the evening practices that I did not finish and the six preparatory practices. For reading, there are reading requirements. And I would suggest that you at least read 2 pages. Advice for Daily Practice by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Basically, it's exactly the class that I'm going through today, morning practice and evening practice. I will take it further. There's 2 or 3 pages on setting up an altar. I think it's important. There is just one small error in that writing. They may have corrected it, but in case not, it says somewhere that the stupa goes to the left of the altar. In actuality, it goes to the right. Only text go to the left, so just keep that in mind. And then we'll go, and if you are so inclined to read more, and there's a few more days in between, start reading Making Life Meaningful by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It's a fantastic reading. It will tell you all about why we establish practice and what it is all about. So at least do that. And you also have some requirements, liberation in palm of your hands. And, you know, I have marked my place again. For those who don't have, I'm sure you can go to the link that Linda already said. And it's a really fantastic reading. Day 4, it starts with the reading in the blue book. And it's all about establishing the daily practice. And it talks about the preparatory practices and so forth. And then the last 2 pages it mentions, it's really amazing. It's about optimum human rebirth. I went through that. It's really fantastic reading from Thobongkhar Rinpoche. One more thing. If you have not, and if you are able to, there is a link available. It's free, I think. I always use this Lamrim manual. Every Lamrim meditation is in there. And if not, bring it up to Linda's attention and maybe we can find it. And I think I did this last class and Gary or somebody distributed that electronically. Fantastic to keep that as a reference. Okay?
I think John Kelly has found that link for us. Maybe he'll do so again. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. So thank you for that. Certainly, the time passed by because of the video. So if you have any questions, certainly you can send it to Linda or me directly. Linda, you can give them my email address. It's hemant_pandya@msn.com. And love to talk to you guys if you have any questions. If not, next class, we'll carve out a little time for question and answers. Thank you.
Okay. John can't find it right away, the link to the Lamrim. I will try to find it and put it in the homework. Any questions before we sign off this evening? All right. So look for the homework. I will be posting it in a little while. So give me a few minutes to do so. And Hemant, thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And I do speak, a lot of my slides come from a lot of this material that Lama Zopa Rinpoche's readings. I again mentioned a lot of the glossaries and stuff like that. So always keep an eye out. If you see something that you don't understand, write it down. Let's all learn together or go to the glossary and learn. So it sinks in a little bit more. So when you hear from Geshe-la these words, you know it. Okay. So thank you. Have a great night and we'll meet Monday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hemant.
Thank you, Hemant. Thank you, Linda.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda, sorry to put you on the spot there, John.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm usually good at finding that stuff. I've pulled up all the meetings
been
2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it might have been the Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive site, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure I have it in some of Hamid's previous materials as well. So I'll be able to find it.
Can you still see me, Linda? I mean, if not, I can certainly find out and get back to you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I have it. I just can't get my finger on it immediately.
Yeah. Which one is that again, Linda?
It's the Long Rim Outline.
Yeah.
And I know you found, John, I'm pretty sure you found it before. Yeah, take a look, John, what Hamid's
on. It is by Karen Wellham, V-A-L-H-A-M.
And I think you found, if I'm remembering correctly, but of course, you know, I might not be. But I think that you did find a link to that whole book, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know Gary
found it. I found it.
Yep, there you go.
Hold on 1 second.
Mario found it. Awesome.
Let me...
If somebody ever says do a Long Rim meditation, bam.
There we go.
Go follow the line.
Oh, it's on fpmt.org. Okay, good. All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Mario.
No problem.
Thanks, John.
I just started this one again. Is this helpful while we're doing it, or is that going to just, I'm just kind of rebooting and starting over again. This is just a Lama Rim year. I think also from Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive.
I just got that one too and started it on January 1st. It's really nice because there's like one page a day that you can read and, you know, kind of think about and meditate on. And
okay.
So for this class, establishing a daily practice, it would probably be beneficial. It's not required for this particular module.
Right.
If you haven't seen it yet, Hema, it's nice. It's a big, thick book, but it has
I have that. Uh-huh. And I've been reading it.
Yeah. I just got it and started it. And I'm like, oh, I like this.
Yeah,
I like these one page.
Yeah. Every now and then I pick it up, read a couple of pages. It refreshes everything up. And it's really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes through like the Long Rim, starting with the guru. Okay.
My baby steps to get back on a regular practice after taking a little time off, so it's like going back to the gym kind of.
Well, welcome back.
and don't hesitate to connect with me if you have any questions or you want a real quick refresher. We can go through the path and a couple of things just to get you back to the cadence again, you know.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
Sure. Bye now.
Bye. Thanks, Hamid.
Thank you.